Chapter 2. At lunchtime, Roiland managed to get to the front of the line with Corey.
"The pizza's really good here, Corey.
And the chocolate cake," Roiland explained.
"No, I'll get fat if I eat all that. I think I'll stick with salad," Corey said.
The sun had come out, and Roiland and Corey took their trays to the corner bench outside under some old oak trees.
"I got a car, you know, Corey. A nice Honda. I got a job, too, down at the Golden Grill, and they really like me down there. Some of the customers come in and ask for me, 'cause I know how to treat people."
"Wow," Corey said, smiling and looking into Roiland's eyes.
"Most guys our age don't have money. I mean, you're lucky if they buy you a bag of fries."
"Not me. I got plenty of money," Roiland lied. He was struggling this month just to pay for his car insurance, but Roiland wanted desperately to impress Corey.
"You know,"
Corey said, carefully stabbing her fork into a juicy slice of tomato,
"my birthday is coming up in 2 weeks. I'm going to be sweet 16.
"I'm turning 17, Roiland said.
"Well, we'll have to celebrate each other's birthdays, huh, Roiland?"
"Yeah, you bet. I'm the one in the family making the most money, so I buy most of the gifts. My sister, she's younger than me, and all she wants is sweaters, and maybe some sparkly thing, like a bracelet or something," Roiland said.
"Do you like jewelry?"
"Oh, it's my weakness. I saw this necklace in a little jewelry store the other day, and I'm dying for it. But my parents will probably give me some stupid pair of pajamas or a bathrobe or something. I mean, money is tight around our house, but still, what kind of birthday gift is a pair of pajamas?" Corey smiled at Roiland and searched through her purse for something.
"But I shouldn't be bothering you with my troubles," she said, pulling out a small mirror.
No, I want you to share stuff with me.
"Know what, Corey? I could drive you home after school. Maybe we could stop at the jewelry store, and you could show me that necklace. I mean, it'd be fun for me to see what kind of things you like, you know?"
"Oh, Roiland, it's so beautiful. I mean, you would not believe how beautiful it is. I'm telling you, it's just the most incredible necklace I ever saw," Corey said, delight on her face.
During study hall that afternoon, Roiland figured out his budget on a pad of paper. He had $600, and his car insurance payment would take all but $50. That was how much he could spend on Corey's birthday gift. Roiland bought sparkly little pins for his mother for under $5. It would be no problem to get the necklace for $50, but if it was more, maybe Roiland could borrow some money from his mother. Or maybe he could get it from old Ambrose Miller, who lived in the same apartment building as the Baileys. Roiland and Mr. Miller went way back. As a boy, Roiland looked at Mr. Miller as the closest thing he ever had to a grandfather, somebody who really cared about him. From time to time, Mr. Miller slipped Roiland money, even a $20 bill for doing chores. Roiland's brain was spinning. If he got the necklace for Corey, she would almost belong to him, he thought. It would not matter how many better-looking, smoother guys came along to hit on her, she would owe it to Roiland to be his girl. Suddenly, a sick and painful memory rushed into Roiland's mind, sneaking up on his thoughts like a mugger. Dad always talked about owning people. He would stand in the kitchen, screaming at Mom,
"You're my woman, you hear me? You're mine. As long as I'm the one out there busting my butt to keep food on the table, I'm making the rules, and you'll do what I say."
He would grab Mom by the arm and shake her real hard. For days afterwards, Mom would be very careful not to wear short sleeves, because she was ashamed of the dark bruises. Roiland felt sick as he sat at his desk. He never planned to treat people like Dad treated Mom and the kids. A few times, Roiland shoved Amberlynn in anger, and even once spanked the boys. But he made up his mind right then that he did not want to do that again. He did not want to be like his father. He hated that man so much that he could taste it, the way you taste onions long after you have had them. After school, Roiland took Corey to his car.
"Oh, what a nice car," Corey said. "Our car is some ratty old van. I'm so embarrassed to be seen in it."
As Roiland drove from the school parking lot, he saw Hakeem, Darcy, and some other Bluford kids watching him. He imagined they were all probably racking their brains right now, trying to figure out how Roy Lynn Bailey, the loser, got the most beautiful girl at Buford to ride in his car. "Look at me now," Roy Lynn thought. He grinned and waved proudly. "Where's the jewelry store, Corey?" he asked.
"It's in the mall. I can't wait until you see this necklace. It's fit for a princess. Someday I'm going to have it," Corey sighed.
"You are a princess," Roy Lynn said. Roy Lynn could not believe how nice it was to be out with Corey. In the parking lot as they headed toward the mall entrance, he nervously reached for her hand, and she gave it to him with a playful smile, as if they had been going out for months. He felt so proud with Corey at his side. On the way to the jewelry store, Roy Lynn could feel the looks of passing guys, the envious stares. Corey was the kind of girl who always got attention, and the other guys were obviously wondering what an average-looking dude like him was doing with a girl like her. As they walked into the jewelry store, Roy Lynn felt very awkward. They were the only teenagers in the store. An older woman glared at them the second they stepped onto the store's plush carpet.
"What are you doing here?" her expression seemed to say.
Before Roy Lynn could say anything, Corey led him by the hand to a glass case at the back of the store.
"There it is," she cried, pointing to a gold necklace shimmering with tiny diamonds. "Isn't it amazing?"
Roy Lynn peered into the display and noticed a small blood-red ruby at the bottom of the necklace. The price tag was on a card leaning against the box. $299. Roy Lynn felt as if he had been hit in the stomach by the heavyweight champion of the world.
"Is that beautiful or what?" Corey exclaimed.
Roy Lynn heard himself chattering, saying stupid things like, "Don't be surprised if you get the necklace for your birthday, Corey." It was like his mouth was not connected to his brain anymore. Where was he going to get $300?
"Roy Lynn," Corey cried. "We hardly know each other. Don't be silly. I mean, I didn't bring you to look at the necklace so you could buy it for me."
But Corey was smiling and giggling as if that was just what was on her mind. Roy Lynn realized he had stupidly bragged about all the money he had. Corey probably figured he could easily afford the necklace. She was laughing so hard with delight that she tumbled into Roy Lynn's arms. When he put his hand on her back, she snuggled as if she really liked him holding her. Then, still smiling, Corey pulled away and gasped.
"Oh, look at us. Aren't we terrible? People are gawking and thinking, look at those kids. Oh, look at that old lady staring at us. I bet she's thinking,
what is the world coming to?
I bet she goes home and says to all the other old ladies,
oh, my word, the kids today are just awful. You should have seen them carrying on in the mall. They don't care what they do in public."
Corey had changed her voice to mimic old age, and Roy Lynn thought it was the funniest thing he had ever heard, and started laughing too. "Let's give her a real show," he said, grabbing Corey and kissing her, as if it were part of the game they were playing, and not something he had desperately wanted to do since he first saw her. Corey agreeably wrapped her arms around Roy Lynn's neck and kissed him back. They stumbled apart then, laughing and nearly delirious from excitement. He had kissed Corey. His heart pounded so hard and fast, he thought he might die at any moment, and he did not care. As they walked back to the parking lot, Corey said,
"Now, Roy Lynn, I don't want you to even think about buying that necklace for me. I would feel terrible if you spent all that money."
"I got a lot of money, Corey," Roy Lynn lied. "I mean, I'm always getting expensive jewelry for my mom. What good is money if you can't spend it on making people happy?" Roy Lynn knew the truth was that his mother was lucky if he bought her a $7 box of candy for her birthday, or maybe even a cheap piece of costume jewelry.
"Roy Lynn, you are something else," Corey exclaimed.
After dropping Corey off at her apartment, in a building as dismal as the one he lived in, Roy Lynn rushed home. He needed to lay his hands on $250 really quick. He had all but promised to buy that necklace for Corey, and if he went back on his promise, he would be a liar in her eyes. He could not bear to even imagine that.
Mom,
Roland said, finding his mother in the kitchen.
I need a loan. I'll pay you back and everything. But
a loan? How much?
Mom asked, checking on the macaroni casserole.
Like 200 and something,
Roland said. Mom turned, her hands pressed to her cheeks.
Oh, my Lord. You're in trouble, aren't you, boy? You owe money to some thugs, don't you? Oh, merciful Lord, what happened?
Mom, nothing like that. Everything is going real great, Mom. But see, I met this real classy girl, and I need to get her something real nice for her birthday, and she's got her heart set on this necklace.
Roland blurted out before realizing what a mistake that was. All his life, his mother pinched pennies and clipped coupons, and he dared talk about spending hundreds on a girlfriend?
Roland Bailey, get out of here,
Mom yelled.
Have you lost your mind? You want to spend all that money on some little high school girl? You must be crazy. How can you ask such a thing? I can feed this family for a month on that.
Okay, forget it, Roland snapped. I should have known you wouldn't understand. You don't understand nothing.
Amber Lynn, who had been listening from the doorway, said,
Roland, you never talked about having a girlfriend. You must have just met her. That makes it even worse.
Mom ran it on.
You want to give an expensive gift to a girl you don't even know?
Roland Bailey, sometimes I believe you done lost the sense God gave you.
Roland glared at Amber Lynn.
Why don't you stay out of it? No one asks you for your opinion, stupid.
Amber Lynn folded her arms defiantly and said,
You can call me all the names you want, but you don't scare me no more. You're just a wannabe, and that's why you gotta bribe some girl into dating you, because she never would want to go out with you otherwise.
Roland stormed out of the house and jumped into his Honda. Maybe he could get some money from someone at school. He found Hakeem and Cooper hanging at Nico's, the local pizza place.
Okay, Roland said. Who wants to make me a loan? I could pay the money back in 2 months with interest.
Cooper looked at Hakeem.
Do we look like bankers?
He asked. Hakeem smiled and turned to Roland. How much are we talking about, man?
250.
250?
Cooper howled.
You must have got hit on the head with a football and messed up your brains to think we got that kind of change.
What do you need that kind of money so fast for anyway?
Hakeem asked.
You must be pulling down at least a couple hundred a month at the Golden Grill, aren't you?
Yeah, but the car payments and the insurance is killing me,
Roland said.
It's eating me up, and I need cash bad.
If we're talking about $5 or something, I'd give it to you in a minute, man,
Cooper said.
I could give you 10, maybe, but that's a strain,
Hakeem said.
I don't need no chump change,
Roland snapped, stomping out of the pizza place.
What am I going to do?
Roland asked himself as he ran back to his car. He had to get the money for Corey's necklace. He had to.